Spirit again. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
All right, nice to see you. Don't let me fool you. I'm still tired. We got in last night, and Julie's recovering, and I guess I should be, but I thought I better come along today and say hi. Was going to speak, but I found out that Ken already turned in his notes and had plans, so I said I'm not going to be messing up good plans, because I've been hearing that he's been doing a good job, so I'll sit and enjoy his preaching this morning. So thank you for your prayers as we have been away. God bless the whole time. Some places while we were there received absolute record rainfall. It is the land of the long white cloud. But it seemed like the only time we had rain was on our travel days. But when we got to where we were going, it was beautiful. So we would leave one place and it'd start raining. We'd go to another and leave there and it'd start raining there. So maybe the rain followed us. So anyway, we had a wonderful time. Thank you for your prayers. Ken, thank you for filling in and preaching the Word of God while I'm away. One thing. On next week, I'm going to share with you something that I've discovered in the Sermon on the Mount. There's been a question I had in Matthew 6 for a very, very, very long time. Guess what? While I was away, I found the answer. And so read Matthew 6. Actually, I'm going to be sending out an email for everybody to do some preparation and see if you can find something that needs answering in Matthew. Yes? No. No, you have the Holy Spirit living within you, so let him do your prompting. Yeah, all right. So just read Matthew 6 for next week, and I'm going to give you a hint. The answer is found in Matthew 20. Line upon line, precept upon precept. So, all right. Let's have a real quick word of prayer, and Ken's going to come. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your word. And thank you for caring for us in times that we're not very careable. So, Father, I pray you be with Ken today. Help him to speak and to challenge us and to cause us to grow and to anticipate your return. Lord, we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Ken.
Thanks, Tony. And today we're going to talk about something that's very, very important. Very important. We talked about, 2 weeks ago, we talked about prayer. How important it is for you and I to have a prayer life. And we mentioned it very, very strongly that if you don't have a prayer life, then you don't have a relationship with God. It's as simple as that. You've got to be able to tune into God, have a relationship with him, and then you'll learn from the scriptures what Tony's going to be talking about from Matthew chapter 6. It's important that we have all of those in line. Why? Why is it so important for us to be part of the church? Remember last week we talked about the necessity to have those bits and pieces that God talks about. I know some of the other religions may have them, might have done something with them that you don't like. But that doesn't change the Bible. It will never change the Bible. And we need those little parts. And I'll tell you today why we need those little bits and pieces extra. Because Jesus is going to come back for what? For his church. Don't forget that. It's the church he's coming back for. And you are individuals that make up the church. So it's the church that he's coming back by, because the church is his bride. And he's coming back for his bride. So it's important for us to know that he's coming back for his church. The people that are part of his church, his bride. Very important. And one day we will be with him. Why else is he coming back for the church? And you have two little items on your piece of paper that says he's coming back because there is a judgment seat of Christ. Now, we don't have that anywhere else except in the Bible there. We read that there is a judgment seat of Christ from Corinthians. Why? What is that all about? That's about us being judged for what we have done for him here on earth. You say, oh, I don't want that. I don't want that. Well, that's part of being a Christian. That's part of being his church. It is what it is to be the bride of Christ. And from there, the scriptures tell us that we go to the marriage supper of the Lamb, which is for all those that are invited. For all those that have accepted the invitation. If you have read the parables in the scripture, you'll know those that have the invitation and reject it don't get in. So it's important for us to start today by knowing that we are part of his church and he is coming back to collect us to be with him. He's also coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And on that day he will come with his army and he comes with his church. So how can he come with his church if he hasn't got the church first to take? So think of those things, and today we're going to start off with just looking at where we are. Look at where we are today in the church. Today the Christian church is faced with all the things that we find. There's wars, fighting, murders, immorality, financial problems, and it goes on. And we hear every day of fighting, of killing, of murdering. Every day we will find someone has been stabbed or shot. And this is the world that we live in. These are the people that we live amongst. And so we have to know that we have to be part of the family of God if we want his protection. Isn't that what we expect? If you are a Christian, you know that this world is not going to get easier. And did you know? We told you last week, 34,000 different denominations, Christian denominations, 34,000 of them, all teaching something from the Bible, all of them thinking they are right. So which one of the 34,000 are you? Let's go to the scriptures, and we're going to look at Matthew 24 and verses 3 through to 14. Go through about, and again. That's the one. Now the references on there are a little bit different to the one I'll be reading. If you want to read it too, you can. It's only a little slightly, but we're going to read through and get through this scripture. It's important. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? That was the destruction of the temple. It already had talked with them. And what will be the signs of your coming and the end of the age? Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming, I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nations will rise against nations, kingdom against kingdoms, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray each other, and have many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of many shall grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel will be preached in all the world as a testimony to all nations. And then shall the end come. What end? What comes then He says at the end, yet the Bible keeps on going. It talks about Daniel. It talks about all of the abominations and desolations that he spoke about, which is the end time. So it looks like there is a break in the scripture there and something is going to happen. These words are self-explanatory. And the world that we live in today is just the way God said it would be. The things that we've read today are the things that we are living with today. God never changes. But one day God is going to say, that's enough. He said it once before. If you go back, right back into the book of Genesis, God came down and looked around a spell and he found Mr. Noah behaving mighty well. But he also said that he wished he had never created man. And friends, God felt about that, but he said it will happen again, but it not with water. Destruction will come one day, for the end will come. Not yet, but it will come. It certainly will come. We're going to go to another scripture, and I want you to look at this one, straight on to this one. It comes from 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through to 5. Know this also, that in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of those who are good, traitors, headstrong, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Who's he talking to? The church. The Christians. This is they? These people are churchgoers? Surely not. Must be a different church. No, it's not. Why would God put that? Why would that give it to Paul and Paul gives it to Timothy? Because he was in the church at Ephesus. Ephesus is one of the churches. One of those seven that God had to write to and said, tell John to write to and say, get it right. Repent or else. Or else. So it's important that we look at the scriptures and say, man, this can't be right. But is it right? Are we the way God wants us to be? What sort of a church did we say he wanted? One without spot and without wrinkle. How can we have a church without spot or wrinkle? Well, Timothy was faced with a church that had big spots and big wrinkles. And it must be around today. We're surrounded by a form of godliness who lack the power of God. We talked about the gift the church should have. Friends, we don't have them. Why don't we have them? Because we, as part of the members, are not willing to receive them. We don't want to get involved with that. We don't want miracles. They were for the disciples. That's gone, you know. God took that out a long time ago. No, he didn't. But if you can give me a verse of scripture that says he did, then I'll believe. But at the moment, God's still offering his gifts to the church that it might be powerful, that it might have the power to help the sick, even to raise the dead. That's the way God works, not the way we work. We're surrounded by a form of godliness. Perilous times and perilous men, we used the term last week, a sign that Jesus is coming. And men and women today in God's church, when he said he would build it, when he would build the church, but sadly today, leaders of many churches and these days are convinced that God can't build churches anymore. They have now taken over. Many churches have. I've listened to people that have got their books and their forms and their office and they've been told what to preach, told what to do, told how to run the church, told what the people can do. And that's the way that they've been working. Humankind thinks that they have the roadmap to success. God is old-fashioned. He's out of touch. He can't do the business around the church anymore. This Bible, this message, is given to us by the inspiration of God. He inspired writers to write the scriptures so that we would understand what God was saying. We are to be ready and give an account to God for what we are, for how we are with other people, how we are among our friends, what God is doing in our lives. We're often asking for testimonies, aren't we? And do you know how many stand up? Nobody. No one's got a testimony of what God has done for them this week. We can't come up with something that God might do for us. But there is a crunch line. The Christian church leadership has lost the knowledge of the assurance of the presence of God. And I asked this last week and the week before, when you came in, did you feel the presence of God? When you came into church today, did you feel the presence of God? Better still, do you feel the presence of God now? God says, where two or three are gathered together, I am there in the midst. Can you sense that? If you can't, there's something wrong, seriously wrong. We need to be on our knees before God to find out why it is that we are not feeling and realizing that God is with us. It's important. We need a relationship, a strong relationship with God. We need the Holy Spirit in our life, manifest in our life, manifest in the congregation. If we don't have him doing something, then he's not there. Isn't that true? I don't think the Holy Spirit living in any one of us would come to church with nothing. Nothing to say, nothing to do. That's not God. There is so much false about the teachings that we have today. On the airwaves, on the internet, go to YouTube, go to Twitter, and more. And all you hear are words of evil people and imposters. And it gets worse and worse, and they're deceiving many on the internet and in the world today. This doesn't sound good for the Christian church. Yet we do discern between truth. Do we discern between truth and error? And how do we know who the imposters are and who are genuine? Collectively, we must share together. We need to work together. We need to pray together so that we are not deceived and not led astray as individuals and suddenly become part of false teaching. Okay? Matthew, please. Next one. Matthew 24, go back to Matthew again, 36 to 42. But of the day and the hour knoweth no man. This is one? Yep. And even the angels of heaven, neither the Son, but the Father only. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days which were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall be the coming of the Son of Man. Then shall two be in the field, one shall be taken and one shall be left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken and one is left. Watch therefore, for you know not on what day your Lord shall come. Does that mean anything to us? I want you to remember, these are the words of Jesus, and they're in red if you have a Bible that's marked. Jesus said them. Two men in a field. One will be taken, the other left. Taken where? Two women grinding at a mill. One's taken. Another is left behind. What is Jesus saying? Now, several months ago, we spoke on Jesus would come as a thief in the night when we're not ready. And that's the way Jesus has said it. And if we read on from where we've just read there, that's what you'll find. He will come as a thief. Does that mean anything to us at all? Is our spiritual life in order? Are we ready? But here is the challenge. We'll go to the next verse of Scripture. What God says from the Scriptures are easier to listen to than listening to me, because there's more in them. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 1 to 5. I solemnly charge you before God. This is God speaking to us, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who is going to judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not tolerate sound doctrine, but according to their own lusts shall they heap up to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned into fables. But watch, and be in all things, and endure all things, afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of your ministry. Every person, young and old, male and female, have a free will. Every single one of us. We can choose to follow God, or we can choose not to. We can be totally committed to him in serving him, or not. Are we ready for his appearing? If he were to walk through that door today, that's not the way he would come, but if he did, what would we do? What would we say? What would you say to him? It's all about being ready for the coming of Jesus. However it may happen, the Bible says it can happen in the twinkling of an eye. One of the things that I enjoyed doing in ministry, both in the Bible school teaching, both in sermons and in New Guinea, was to stand in front of the people and just look at them. Did you see that? Of course you didn't. I blinked my eyes and you didn't see that. That is how quick the coming of Jesus will be. The Bible says clearly here, in the twinkling of an eye, he will come. Lord Jesus Christ will come. That's how he will come. Jesus will come to take his people home, all those who are ready. Paul was more explicit, and this is one of the favorite scriptures, I guess, that come for those that believe in the catching away, or the rapture, as it's called. Thanks. From 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18. For the Lord himself, Jesus, shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are left and are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the clouds. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. This is the event that will happen without warning, in the twinkling of an eye, when we least expect it. And are you ready? Are you ready for that coming? The church will be taken out without a sound, never to be seen again, never to be heard of. The saints will be gone. Church could be half full. There's a song, if ever you get the chance to sing it, a couple of worldly groups sing it, The Last Sunday. It's called The Last Sunday. If you ever get it, you'll find out when the preacher is in his congregation and only half of them are there and he wonders why. It's quite an interesting song to listen to. But one day this gospel of the kingdom will be preached for the last time, the Bible says. The churches will become irrelevant. The Holy Spirit that abides in the hearts of the Christian will be removed. What will it be like? What a terrible feeling to know that Jesus had come and we missed the call. Something I wouldn't like to feel. What torment and anguish of soul to to know that we had the opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as Savior, but we put it aside for a more convenient time. It's what we do, isn't it? The Bible clearly says, behold, now is the day of acceptance, is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Tomorrow could be the last day, one day late. Jesus is coming again, and it's our duty not to scare people into the kingdom of God, but to comfort each other, the Bible says, with these words. I don't know about you, but my home is in heaven, just waiting for me. And when I get there, how happy I'll be. My home is in heaven. The rent is free. Jesus paid it on Calvary. Can you sing that? Can you say those words? We're going to sing a closing hymn. Mightn't have done it for a long time. We're going to sing a closing hymn right now. And it'll come up on the screen for us. And Brian's going to play for us. So are you ready for that? Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks for your goodness. We thank you for your love. We thank you, Lord, that you have called us to be part of your great family. And as we gather here today in your presence, we pray, Lord, that you'll touch every heart. You'll go with us today in all that we do throughout this week. And Lord, you will remind us that you are coming to take unto yourself your church, your bride, that we can be one with you on that day. Bless your people today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
My home, my little, just passing through. passing through my home and this world and it.